opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that I find myself speaking about in my office over and over and over again. And so I spoke with my dear friend, Dr. Richard Malachy, who is an absolutely fabulous physician, and he said, I must give this speech in my office many times a day because he's a doctor. And I said, you know, this is a radio show that really needs to happen because so many people have this problem. They do not take care of it well. It is directly related to the stress that I see people are undergoing emotionally, and it's directly related to the physical manifestations of that stress that Dr. Malachy sees in his office. So by the end of this show, we are hoping that you understand this subject really well, that you manage it much better, and you are taking care of your health in a very proactive way. So what we're going to talk about is acid reflux, commonly known as heartburn, and we're going to talk about it in ways that people don't really understand what it's about. They think, oh, I've got heartburn, and they take a couple Tums, and that's how they manage it. But it is far more involved than that. It's also can be far more serious than that. So especially what's happened over this whole stress with the pandemic and COVID and quarantining, and a lot of people have had a huge amount of stress with their businesses being stressed financially, homeschooling their kids when they're trying to juggle kids and work, working from home rather than working in the office, trying to homeschool several kids while you're working from home, well, maybe somebody's fallen sick with COVID. The stress is humongous. And that's a very technical word, humongous. It's very true. The stress is horrid. So in my practice, I have seen a whole bunch of clients complaining of acid reflux, and Dr. Malachy does that too. He's sitting up across from me right now nodding his head, yes. So in the second part of the show, Dr. Malachy is going to teach you about the medical aspects of acid reflux, and in the third section of the show, we're going to do a lot of talking about how to manage it with your stress, and he's going to teach you how to manage it medically. He's going to give you instructions on when you probably should be seeing your physician and taking care of it and not being in denial. So that's our goal with this show, is that you are highly educated. And selfishly, this is also so Dr. Malachy can say to his patients, listen to Dr. Patty's podcast on acid reflux, and he doesn't have to do the 20-minute speech every day in his office 10 times. And, I mean, I give this speech, too, all the time, so I can say to my clients, oh, look, you struggle with heartburn? Listen to this podcast. And I just save them a ton of money in my office and a whole ton of time, and we can work on maybe the causes of their stress, not the acid reflux, which is the product of their stress. All right, so I'm hoping this makes sense. And this is important, very important. So I want to talk to you about, just a minute, before we go to the second part of the show and you get to hear Dr. Malachy's incredible medical advice. The stress that we are under with all the stuff that I listed before is on top of the normal stress that everybody deals with. And even before COVID and quarantining and homeschooling and all of this, people had their regular old marital stress, their parenting stress. Almost everybody I ever talk to has some financial stress. There's caring for your elderly parents and all sorts of stuff. Just getting the lawn mowed sometimes is stressing people out. And the other thing is, when you have a partner, invariably, partners don't always communicate really well.
No.
No, we never see that, right? Because everybody are just, they're just wonderful communicators, and they have so much patience with each other, and nobody ever is a butthead or says horrible things or makes you feel badly about yourself, right? You're all laughing. Okay, so the normal life stress of trying to make a marriage work or a partnership work, whether that's your business partnership or your home partnership, it's hard. And those normal stresses were kicking everybody's rear ends long before the pandemic came. So now we add to that some really, really high-powered stress. And it's put a ton of people over the edge. Dr. Malachi, chime in here about what you've seen with bleeding ulcers. I thought that was a fabulous analogy.
Okay, yeah. Well, so a bleeding ulcer is where you've had an untreated stomach acid condition long enough that it actually, it sort of makes a divot in the lining of your stomach.
It's eating away your stomach.
Yeah, the acid is, well, it's a pH of 1. It's hydrochloric acid. So, and physiology of the stomach is you're only supposed to release that acid when there's food in there. The acid works on the food and helps digest it for us. But if we're having stress, which I can talk about a little more in the physiology part, when the acid is released in an empty stomach, it makes a divot if it's there long enough. And it's like someone's took a pitching wedge on the lining of your stomach. And when it bleeds, I normally will see a bleeding ulcer probably once every 4 or 5 years in my patient population. I had 5 in the last not quite 2 years, I guess 22 months.
Since all this
COVID started. Since COVID started, 5. Yeah, and if people feel sick to their stomach, then they throw up blood all over their laptop.
Right.
And they can't fix that. You have to get a new laptop.
That was funny. I wasn't ready for that. Okay, so bleeding ulcers are something that can happen when you're not managing your stomach acid.
Oh, yes.
But I'm even worried about all the stuff that happens with the stomach acid long before you even get a bleeding ulcer.
Oh, yeah. The bleeding ulcer, the final path is a perforated ulcer, which kills you.
Right, and can kill you quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Before you can even get to the hospital. So there's so much about this that is life-saving, health-saving, and also sets you up to be, in the future, much healthier as an elderly person as opposed to other things that can happen. We're going to go into all of that. But it's really important that you recognize that this has gotten to be more and more and more as the stress increases. In my practice, I rarely saw a suicidal child. Rarely. In fact, I can think back over 30-something years of practice and maybe a couple that were actively suicidal. I have seen so many suicidal teenagers and kids since all of this started because they don't know how to manage the disappointment, the changes in their lives, their losses of friends and activities and sports. And
I had 2 in the office in the last 10 days.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. There, many of them have lost their college opportunities. Some kids that I have seen that are into high-powered sports and getting looked at by colleges stop looking. They're not recruiting anymore because of COVID. And this has just harmed kids' chances that they have envisioned for themselves for a very long time. And the suicide ideology creeps up in there, and parents aren't always aware of it. So the stress is huge, and in some ways I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but what we want you to do is look at the stress and how it relates to the acid reflux and the heartburn and the upper GI sort of stuff that this can create. Now, granted, too, it drops down to lower GI stuff. I see a ton of people now with stomach problems and irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's disease and autoimmune disorders are on the rise because of all this stuff that goes through our GI tract is a really general indicator of how our health is, and it can take you down with autoimmune diseases. So this is important, and we need to focus on this. And if you don't have heartburn or acid reflux, but you have a family member that struggles with it, stay tuned in, because you're going to be able to say, listen to Dr. Patty's podcast, because after the radio show is done, I put it up on my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and you can listen to it and give them all the information we're going to do today. So we're going to go to break in just a moment. Before we do, I want to do a shout-out to Nick Gardner, who's listening. Hey, Nick. How you doing? Nick is the host for a KCNR show called Poke the Hornet's Nest. That came out wrong. So tune in to Nick's show, Poke the Hornet's Nest, here on KCNR. All right, we're going to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe. Or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malachy, incredible physician, incredible diagnostician.
Don't lay it on too thick.
But it's true. You're really, really, really good. Okay, and we are talking about one of the main manifestations of stress, and that is acid reflux. And I'm going to let Dr. Malachy take this in just a moment, but I wanted to share with you my own personal experience that is partly what made me have him on here today. When my husband Richard was dying of frontal temporal degeneration for about 8 years with it's a horrible brain disease, the stress was absolutely through the roof, incredible. And I was putting all my stress right into my esophagus. And I didn't know it, because for me it did not manifest as, oh, I have heartburn. I would get chest pains. And there were many times I thought I might be having a heart attack, and I was under so much stress, and I couldn't leave him, and it was like, what do I do about this? I didn't have time to do anything about it. We were spending all our resources on taking care of his medical stuff. I didn't want to add more medical stuff. So I was kind of ignoring it and hoping it would calm down, and I just kept saying it's stress. Well, what was happening was I had horrible acid reflux, and I didn't know it. And one night I'm laying in bed, I couldn't even swallow my spit, and I'm choking, and I woke up, and I said, whatever this is, it's killing me. And that's when I went to the doctor and found out that I had a horrible messed up esophagus from all the stress. But even then, when that got straightened out and I got put on acid blockers and things like that, nobody ever explained to me what you're about to learn today. It wasn't until Dr. Malachy and I had this big old conversation that he said, well, wait a minute. you need to know all this stuff, and you need to take care of this correctly, or else this, this, and this can happen. I mean, I probably looked at him like a deer in the headlights because I did not know all of that. And since then, I've taught it to a ton of people in my office, and he teaches it all the time in his office every single day many times. So we're going to teach it to you right now. So, Dr. Richard Malachy, would you please teach our listeners about acid reflux?
Sure. Yes, and it is a kind of a canned speech because it is the most common physical manifestation of stress is some kind of inappropriate stomach acid issue. And it's my weak spot. I've had the upper scope twice. I had to take the medicine for 3 months last year when my mom died. And the nutshell thing is that our GI tract is kind of a long pipe from your lips to your butt. It's not very romantic. And the stomach is a wide spot in the road. And it's how, of course, we get all our nutrition in. And it's a miraculous machine, actually. But it's controlled by nerves that come out of our brain. And the main nerve that controls the GI tract is called the vagus nerve. It's the 10th cranial nerve. And it's the nerve that controls stomach acid. In fact, operatively, before there was any of these fancy kind of acid blockers that we have now in pill form, one of the things we did to deal with chronic ulcer disease was to cut the vagus nerve. Which
wow.
is kind of extreme, but it would, you know, uncontrolled ulcers gives you stomach cancer.
Or kills you.
Yeah, I had two stomach cancers in my practice this year, and normally I'll have one every other year. What happens is the chronic inflammation from the unhealed ulcer causes abnormal cells to develop at the edge of the ulcer. The stomach cancer always starts at the edge of the ulcer. And, you know, you don't want that. So part of my questions for all my patients when they're getting a physical is, do you think you have any stomach acid issues? And, during the pandemic, my prescriptions for those drugs tripled, mm-hmm. easily tripled. So what happens is, the patients will come in and say, yeah, you know, I take Tums. Tums is the most common thing to take. And my line in the sand for something that probably needs treatment is, do you have to take Tums more than once or twice a week? You know, if you're taking it three times a week, we got to have a talk.
And I have clients that eat Tums all day long.
Oh, yeah. One of my ranchers had a Costco thing next to him in his truck as he drove around his ranch. And he had three ulcers when he agreed to be scoped. But he never had any, never had any heartburn. It made him sick to his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So to start with, the symptoms the patients will have are myriad. And you started out with your personal experience of chest pain. That's a common way that stomach acid reflux will present. Mm-hmm. If a busy cardiologist will see two or three reflux patients a week in his office because people come in thinking they're having a heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a reason for everything in the body. The reason for that is the afferent nerve, the sensory nerve, for the lower third of the esophagus and the sensory nerve for the heart enter the spinal cord exactly next to each other, and the brain can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people call it a referred pain, but that's, you know, just how the body works.
And
so,
it feels very real.
Oh, yeah. In fact, both are common enough that I've had lots of patients who've had both a heart attack and reflux and say the symptoms are exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. So, and, you know, if you end up in the ER with what you think is a heart attack, and they say it's just heartburn, they send you home, and nobody gets the speech.
Well, yeah, they're supposed to get the speech. So, yeah,
uh-huh.
And while you're in the ER, while you're waiting for what we did 40 years ago, while you're waiting for your EKG tech to come, just have them swallow the, it's called a GI cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And it has liquid antacid, it has Novocaine, and if before the EKG tech gets to the room, if the patient's symptoms are gone, we still do the EKG because you have to cover. But
mm-hmm.
You send them home. But you're supposed to send them home with the speech. So chest pain, substernal chest pain, it can sometimes radiate. Sometimes it'll radiate to the shoulders. Oftentimes people think they're having a gallbladder attack. Pretty hard to differentiate between the two. patients who, you know, resist medical care, they'll try different other things. They'll try to avoid eating too late because, of course, laying down flat makes reflux easier because of gravity. Quite a few people, as many as 15 or 20% of Americans, have this thing called a hiatal hernia. Mm-hmm. That increases their risk for reflux. And a hiatal hernia is where part of your stomach is protruding up above the diaphragm, and it makes it harder for the stomach to keep the acid in the stomach. Mm-hmm. And the way we treat it has evolved in the time that I've been in the business. We had Liquinet acids and a couple of really pretty primitive drugs that we used to block cellular damage from acid. Then I think I'd been in practice 4 or 5 years, and we got these drugs called H2 blockers, with cimetidine was the original one. And that's like Pepcid AC, those kind of drugs. And they're pretty good. They're antihistamine, actually, but they're, instead of Benadryl's an H1 blocker, cimetidine is an H2 blocker. It doesn't really matter that much, but those can help reduce your acid. And then the miracle of all miracles occurred probably 30 years ago, and we got these things called proton pump inhibitors. And the over-the-counter flavor of that now that's most available is omeprazole. But there's also other competitive drugs that are over-the-counter, all of which work well. Oftentimes, one patient will find one works better for them than the other. So you just do a trial-and-error thing and figure it out.
There's some that are time-released and some that
aren't. Yes, yeah. Traditionally, the longest the original drugs would last in your bloodstream is 12 to 14 hours. So many times, especially hiatal hernia patients, would have to take the pills twice a day. Sometimes the time release works all day. Sometimes it doesn't. But the main thing to remember is you got to fix it. Because if you have 30 years, 20, 30 years of untreated reflux, you're going to die of esophageal cancer. Not a preferred way to go.
I remember when you first explained to me about the three levels of care, like Tums being the first, just that's for like somebody gets mild heartburn once in a blue moon.
And actually liquid antacids do work better than Tums.
Yeah, like Mylanta or...
Yeah, because that horrible commercial where it coats the glass pipe, that's actually what a liquid antacid does better than a Tums.
And it feels much better instantly.
Exactly.
Okay, and then the next level were things like Pepcid.
Right, H2 then, blocker.
Right, and then the next level were the pump inhibitors.
Right.
And your doctor needs to tell you which you need, but if you've been ignoring it, hoping not to go, saying things like, it's just heartburn, I don't eat late at night, I elevated my bed, I take Tums, I keep Tums by my bed. If you're doing all those things, you probably have not treated your acid reflux correctly. And the other thing that you explained to me that made a huge difference to me was how Barrett's esophagus happens. Because I have a total visual of that now, and I'm like, no, dun-da-da-da.
Don't go there.
I'm like, super dog, taking care of acid reflux. But tell them about Barrett's esophagus.
Well, what happens when, see, the only cells in your body, our body is made of cells, the only cells in your body that are geared up for protecting themselves against exposure to acid are the cells that line the stomach. And the lower third of the esophagus is supposed to have none of those cells in it. Those are a different kind of called mucosa.
They don't belong there.
They don't belong there. If you have reflux long enough and chronically enough, your body starts putting the same cells that line the stomach in the lower third of the esophagus. And that was some famous GI doctor named Dr. Barrett got it named after him. But when the doctors scope you, they take a little tiny sample of the tissue in your lower third of your esophagus, and then we can look at it under the microscope and tell whether you have that or not. Having Barrett's doesn't mean you're going to die. It just means that the reflux has been around a pretty long time, and my Barrett's patients, I insist that they get 4 months of the acid blocker, and then they have to be scoped again, because you have to make sure that it's fixed. You do not mess with it. Do not mess with it.
Well, the whole idea is once there are cells in the wrong place, they start growing in an incorrect way for what esophageal is.
Well, and all GI cancers, including esophagus, stomach. It's interestingly, small intestine is about the only part of the body that doesn't get a cancer except for carcinoid. And then large intestine, colon cancers, they're all because of chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And what inflammation does is it makes your cell repair itself. It makes your cells divide faster than they're meant to be. and they only have a certain number of cell divisions in their lifespan before they might divide poorly and create a cell that has really bad DNA in it. And a cancer cell is a cell that has really bad DNA in it.
Yeah, and so that's the beginning of esophageal cancer.
Yes.
And you know, folks, treating your acid reflux and heartburn long before you ever get Barrett's esophagus, long before you ever begin to go into esophageal cancer, is the formula you need to be listening to right now. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be dying of a nasty disease called esophageal cancer.
No, and it's diagnostically tricky, or it can be. So, you know, like I had a 17-year-old come in the week before school started this fall, and he'd lost 15 pounds over the summer. Mm-hmm. Well, he had an ulcer, but his only symptom was, I don't feel like eating.
Yeah, the symptoms, we need to go over those. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we are going to take you through the symptoms that both of us see for stress and the medical symptoms so that you might recognize yourself. Okay, keep listening. This is an important show. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malachy, and we're talking about acid reflux. But you are listening to a very appropriate song that my producer, Jared, chose. He's got a good sense here. It's called Live, and it is Randy McGinnis from his CD, Freedom's Hope. And he's an incredible Native American flute player and allows us to use his music on this show, which I deeply appreciate. You can go to randymcginnis.com and check out all six of his CDs. They are all different and they are all beautiful. He's won tons of awards, played all over the world. He's an incredible musician. So, thanks, Jared. Good song. Live. I love that. All right, so we're talking about acid reflux, commonly known as heartburn. And what Dr. Malachy and I wanted to go over when we start this section are the symptoms that you might be seeing from the stress of what you're going through and what are the medical symptoms you might be seeing. I thought we'd start with Dr. Malachy taking you through the symptoms he sees most when they come into his office.
Well, probably the most common symptom is heartburn, but the book says 20% of acid issues or even ulcer disease patients, 20% of them have never felt heartburn before.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just, we call it dysphagia. They just don't feel like eating. Eating makes them uncomfortable. They'll just say, I just don't want to eat. And that's a pretty common symptom. Mm-hmm. The chest pain is a common one. People will say that I get full right away. I used to, you know, eat two pieces of chicken. Now I can only eat a half a piece of chicken. But they may not have any abdominal pain or any heartburn at all. So that it doesn't even tumble to them to try an antacid for it.
Never occurred to me.
Right. So this, if you're like, I'll see like the one I mentioned in the previous segment, the weight loss, unexplained weight loss, lots of times that's an ulcer. Lots of times. And the classic heartburn or people will say, I, when I lay flat, I wake up all night. Mm-hmm. And then they'll volunteer that they raise the bedpost, you know, put a dictionary under the head of the bed.
Right.
To try to get them a little bit of a gravity assist. And that's still a worthwhile thing to do. But what you can do at home without, you know, having to go to the expensive doctor, one of the things that I like to tell my patients is all simple things that are related to stomach acid are healed in 30 days of over-the-counter proton pump inhibitor blocker, you know, those drugs. So taking one of those omeprazole pills every day for 30 days, the classic thing that patients will say, yeah, my symptoms were better in three or four days. You start to feel better. You're not fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep taking it for a whole month, even though you feel fine. That's pretty important.
And that's the problem I see the most. As soon as people feel okay, they stop doing what they're doing.
And then 2 weeks later, they're back on the pill. So it's, I've seen that movie a lot. But so if they take a drug for the over the counter drug for 30 days and 2 days after they're off the pill, they're in my office. Usually we want to know for sure what's wrong. Most of the time on that person, I'll either give them, if they don't want the scope, sometimes people are sort of hesitant, I'll give them the prescription strength of omeprazole, which is 40 milligrams, twice what the over the counter strength is, and try that for a month. But, fear of the endoscopy is really, I mean, I'm old, so I remember the old days before we had the really cool scopes.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this thing called an upper GI. And we made people swallow this barium stuff, and then we would take pictures in the x-ray department. And it missed about 25-30% of the ulcers. And it doesn't even show Barrett's. Mm-hmm. We had no way to biopsy back in the old days. So these scopes, which are about the diameter of a big pen,
mm-hmm.
the scopes are a game changer. They're not to be feared. You don't have to take your clothes off.
Right.
They sedate you because everyone thinks, well, gee, I don't want that. I'm going to choke the whole time. Well, I've done about 1,000 scopes because I was trained. I'm an old guy. So we give people enough drugs so they don't choke.
Right. And once you get past that gag reflex anyway, you're
good to go.
The scope is not invasive at all. It's a piece of cake.
And it's a game changer for mm-hmm. us because instead of guessing what you've got, we know what you've got.
Yes, and if you have Barrett's esophagus, you really need to know that. If you have a bleeding ulcer, you need to know that. If you have the beginning of esophageal cancer, you need to catch that early. And the scope is what lets people like Dr. Milwaukee know what you have and how to treat it correctly.
Yeah, it removes the guesswork. And guesswork in my line of work, generally guesswork is a bad idea. But in particularly in this case, because some things we can diagnose pretty much just by history alone. A lot of things, actually. But when it comes to stomach acid issues, don't go there. It's better to figure it out.
Yes. And, you know, in my office, what I hear so often, a ton, especially a lot since the whole pandemic and COVID stress, is someone, I'll say to them, well, what do you do with your stress? And I'm looking for things like drugs and alcohol, acting out, shopping, gambling, what's happening to you physically, and I'm looking for things that make me say, have you checked with your doctor about that? So I hear all the time, I have GERD, that
gastroesophageal reflux disorder, GERD.
And what they described to me is when I'm asleep, that acid comes back up my stomach, I start choking on it, I wake up choking on this horrible tasting acid stuff, so I elevated my bed and that took care of it. Well, you still probably have extensive acid, but you're keeping it down in your stomach now
often the only symptom is a dry cough or hoarseness.
Yes.
And you think, boy, my voice box is a long way away from my stomach, but Not really.
Not really.
Yeah, the acid will make your vocal cords swell, and it makes your voice change.
And people will have that chronic little dry cough that they think is just allergies or getting over something, and it's related to acid reflux.
Yeah, and then that's the way you also get to have this other wonderful thing called squamous cell carcinoma of your vocal cords.
Yeah, that's not fun.
So don't do that.
So the acid coming back up to your stomach, people talk about that. They say, I get heartburn a lot, but I take Tums all the time. Some people say, well, when I get really stressed, I get chest pains. And I said, have you checked that out with your doctor? And my doctor told me it was just stress. But nobody talked to them about could it be acid reflux. So the heartburn, chest pain, the acid coming back up in your throat in the middle of the night.
Unexplained weight loss.
The dry little cough. Unexplained weight loss.
Voice changes.
Voice changes, like being kind of hoarse. Are people saying, hey, are you a smoker? Or do you have a cold?
The ENT docs find reflux all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and the other thing I thought we should quick touch on, because we're just, you know, going over and over about number five of the big five. So, there are five main things that people do that can stimulate inappropriate acid production. Because remember, you're only supposed to release acid when you eat food. So the big five are nicotine, probably the worst one at stimulating production of acid. Nicotine, alcohol, probably number two. And those are two common things that are used in this country. Aspirin or aspirin-related drugs. Anything.
Like ibuprofen.
Well, any NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Any NSAID can make your stomach, it inhibits prostaglandin production, so it makes the stomach lining more susceptible to acid damage. And then, believe it or not, caffeine or chocolate. I've had people that could drink a pot of coffee, but if they ate one little dark piece of See's candy, they were doubled over in pain. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least is stress. So,
and also spicy foods.
Almost never. Huge misnomer. It is a trigger for some people, but you know, the number of times that I could actually say, yeah, boy, I only get heartburn when I eat Mexican food, it's minuscule. Big five, it's not even in the big five.
Really? That's interesting, because I hear that one a lot.
That's what everybody says. Yeah, it's like urban legend.
Well, for me, I accidentally ate a piece of quiche that was supposed to be the non-jalapeno one, and they had put it on the wrong plate, and I ate this piece of quiche with jalapeno in it. It inflamed my esophagus so bad it took me a month to calm
it
down.
And so you're more talking about food allergy.
Okay, so I'm more susceptible to that.
Yeah,
okay.
And a lot of people have food allergy. But the big five, nicotine, alcohol, caffeine and chocolate, NSAIDs, and stress, those are the ones that consistently are the problem.
Has anybody ever told you are no fun?
Oh, yeah. My job is to take away all the fun things in life, and that's a given. Yeah, that's a given.
That's what you're getting for your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Alcohol and chocolate.
Yeah, lima beans.
Yeah.
You got to do a balance. Yeah, lots of people say, I have one glass of wine, I'm fine, but if I have two, I get heartburn.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time.
I can't drink red wine.
Sure, and you just have to figure out your limits and your boundaries of protection.
Yes, and that is a podcast I did, boundaries of protection, because one of the things that happens so often, and that's what Dr. Malachi and I both see a lot, is somebody knows they have a problem, and they are bouncing around trying to manage it themselves, and they don't get it checked out. And they manage it a tiny bit or a little bit, make it calm down, but they haven't really either treated the underlying stress that's causing it. They haven't changed their diet to accommodate it. They haven't seen their physician to get scoped to see if they have anything serious. And they are in a place of denial and avoidance. And then as soon as they feel okay, the boundaries of protection, they go back to doing whatever they want until it flares up again. And that is a recipe for disaster. And the disaster is bleeding ulcer, Barrett's esophagus, esophageal cancer, stomach cancer, colon cancer, and it going into worse and worse GI tract problems because you are in denial and you got your head stuck in the sand. It is one of the biggest problems both of us see in our practices, denial and avoidance.
Yep. It's not a river in Egypt.
No. Denial is not a river. Yeah, it's a It's an active thing in my office. In fact, one of the things I'm looking for when new clients come in is I'll be like, okay, how much denial and avoidance do they have? How open are they to talking about what's really going on? I'm assessing for that because it's huge. And it'll kill you, you guys. God, I don't mean to be so scary, but you do denial and avoidance with acid reflux and all of this stuff that it can do to you. And it could be the beginning of your demise. And I can tell you this, as somebody who struggles with this issue and tries to maintain it and do everything Dr. Malachi tells me to do, and I'm really compliant, I'm ultra compliant with it, that's not the way I want to go out. It is not pretty.
No.
And I don't want that, so I'm careful. And I'll do the scope anytime he tells me he needs to check it again, because it's important. And the scope wasn't bad. I've done it a few times, and it's not.
Yeah, you don't remember a thing.
And it's not. It's not intrusive, and you're not embarrassed, and it's quick and easy, and you're in and out of there, and they get some really clear answers, which is really, really important. It's just, it's powerful. So any other symptoms you want to make sure people know to report to their doctors?
Well, I would say, the symptoms that are most commonly ignored is dry cough and voice change.
Yes.
And unexplained weight loss. It's funny. People won't come in. Like one of my stomach cancer patients, he had a 30-pound weight loss, and he wasn't overweight to start with.
Oh.
But it had been over about a year period.
You know that river in Egypt?
Yeah. And
it's total denial.
Oh, yeah. Just unbelievable. So, don't do that. The fear of what it might be is worse than what we have to deal with if you wait too long.
Exactly. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to make sure you guys know how to handle this and what to do. And we'll be back in a minute.
This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and Dr. Richard Malachi is here with me, and we're talking about acid reflux and heartburn. Okay, I want you guys to get a pad of paper and a pen, and when you listen to this show, I want you to go back and start from the beginning, too, when you're all done, and I want you to make a list of any of the symptoms that you have, any of the remedies you have tried, like elevating your bed or taking Tums every 15 minutes or 10 times a day, so that you have the entire list written out of what your symptoms are and what you've been trying to do for how long. So if you have a 30-pound weight loss over the last 6 months, write that on your list. No appetite, 30 pounds weight loss over the last 6 months. Write how long you've been taking Tums. Write for your doctor that if you take a pump inhibitor like, say, omeprazole, I never say it right.
Omeprazole.
Thank you, omeprazole. If you take that and after a couple days you're better and then you stop, because that's what people do. But say that. If I take that for a couple days, I feel better. And then take that list into your doctor. Because if you just go in and say, oh, I have heartburn, and don't say anything else, it's up to your doctor to ask you all the right questions to get the right answers. And many doctors give you your whole 3 to 6 minutes in your office, and they don't want to talk to you about everything. And they don't want to give you this big, long acid reflux.
I love lists. So sometimes the patients are apologetic when they get out their list, and I thank them for getting out their
yes.
list, because otherwise they'll forget to ask me something or...
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, it's
or you don't get the full picture because they're nervous.
Yes.
But I got to tell you, because I hear more people going, well, I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want a pelvic exam or I don't want a rectal exam or I don't want, and they're freaking out. So I say, look, going in for acid reflux, it's not embarrassing. It's a conversation with your doctor. He or she may recommend that you go in and get scoped, but that isn't even invasive, you guys. This is a problem that is easily worked with in a non-embarrassing way that you can learn to take care of yourself with this. And
well,
you don't
yeah,
need
and,
to do denial and avoidance.
And if 30 days of a prescription strength acid blocker makes the problem go away and not come back, well, you're not going to get scoped. Mm-hmm. The problem went away and didn't come back.
Right.
So, and that's great. And oftentimes stomach acid issues are temporal. You know, it's just related to certain stresses in your life or, you know, with your work or with your mm-hmm. marriage or with your kids. So yeah, it's just don't sit on it.
Right. And that's where the stress issue comes in with therapy. If you have chronic stress issues and you're hoping they go away, or you don't want to go into therapy because you don't air your dirty laundry to somebody that you don't know, or you're afraid somebody's going to tell you you should get a divorce or you should leave your spouse or that your children are messed up or you're a bad mom or dad. People avoid therapy because they don't want to know. But my job, if you come in for therapy, is let's look at the underlying causes of your stress and let's give you tools to manage those stressors better. You can go back to my podcast and you can listen to the podcast on anxiety, anticipatory anxiety, depression, living with a difficult person. There's one on stress. There's one on, are you worth loving yourself? There's ones that can address the issues that are your underlying stress. And the podcasts are all free. So just go to Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, peruse the titles and see which ones might speak to your underlying stress. That's going to help your acid reflux. In combination with your medical doctor, you could fix this and not end up getting esophageal cancer.
Yeah, it's just not a classy way to go.
Yeah, well. When you told me about it and I researched it, I Dr. Googled it. Dr. Malachi and I did a show called Dr. Googling It, because he hates that when people come in with all their own answers.
Well, I don't hate it. I like them to be informed, but the problem with Dr. Google is, you know, you'll say, read about your headache and...
You're dying of brain cancer.
Yeah, and that's one half of 1%.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and if you start reading about acid reflux and the stress and the esophageal stuff, there's stuff that will scare you a lot.
As it should.
And it should. But if we've scared you today, we're kind of hoping we have. We don't want you to be frightened and do nothing. We want you to say, wow, this has been a problem with me for years and I have avoided it, or I have said, I just have heartburn.
And also sometimes with the scope, you can't really tell very accurately without it, but sometimes with the scope, we can also find that you have a bacterial infection, which is a big long name called Helicobacter pylori. And if you have that infection active in the lining of your stomach or first part of your small intestine, the duodenum, then that really increases your risk for problems as well. It causes chronic inflammation.
Okay.
So, and in that case, they'll give you 2 weeks worth of antibiotic along with the acid blockers.
Right. And get everything healed up.
Yeah.
So catching this means that you can heal your stomach. You can heal your esophagus. You can either get all better and not have to take this stuff anymore, or like me, it's where I put my stress, and dealing with a terminal brain disease and then going through all the grief and loss and all of that stuff left me with kind of a chronic problem, and I have to manage it all the time. And I am careful, and I manage it all the time.
And it's worth it. And, you know, we have a saying in our line of work. I mean, if the patient wants a pelvic exam, send her to the psychiatrist. I mean, nobody wants to do that.
That's true.
It's pretty awful. No mentally healthy person wants to do that. So, so yeah, there's nothing to be afraid of. And, like I said, the consequences of shining it on are a lot worse than the consequences of facing it and doing something about it.
Yeah, it's just hugely important. So let's take the last 5 minutes here to really sum up what we want people to look for and what we want them to do. So if you're doing your speech to people before they ever get this, what are you telling them to look for, and what are you telling them that you want them to, when do you want them to come into it?
Okay, so, well, all right. So, like, if we do this thing in a physical called review of systems, and review of systems, you ask, you know, open-ended questions about different body parts. I ask about the heart, ask about breathing, and then I always ask about stomach acid questions. I just say, do you think you might have stomach acid symptoms? And a lot of times patients with an ulcer will say no.
Right.
So, but that's where my job can't be done in 3 to 5 minutes. I mean, the physical is, we make an hour appointment. So,
right.
And, you know, it's just the way I was trained, but it's a job of 20 questions. And if the doctor only has time to ask you 2 questions, then you're being poorly served. So.
And you won't get treated.
Well, no. Yeah. It just falls through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm always suspicious of men. You know, because they won't tell you all the symptoms. I love it when the spouse or a significant other comes in for the physical, because I can get all the data.
Because they bust them.
Yeah, exactly.
You do too have heartburn. You're eating Tums like candy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's like, what?
Exactly. Well, that's just how we roll. So
yeah, testosterone
can
be a handicap.
Yeah, well, we could start talking about estrogen too, but it's off the subject. Off the subject. Yeah, and if they have a lot of the big five, let's say they smoke and drink, or they chew tobacco. Chewing tobacco is the same.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, if they use tobacco products, I usually just hand them a pistol and tell them to pick a nice spot in my parking lot that drains well and get it over with. Because,
that's graphic.
Well, it should be graphic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if I could change one thing in this world, I would make the tobacco plant, all the seeds extinct.
Oh, yeah. And now we've got kids vaping.
Unbelievable.
And the amount of pot that people are smoking, because they all of a sudden have permission to deal with their pain, their anxiety, their stress, or everything else with either CBD or THC, or actually smoking or eating pot. And I've just seen marijuana use go sky high too. And that's often smoke in their lungs.
Yeah, and I had two kidney cancers and 2 bladder cancers in my practice last year, and all tobacco related.
Yeah.
Of course, it causes all that. So it's not just lung cancer, boys and girls. So,
right. So
yeah, don't do that. And occasionally people will say, yeah, I only get it when I put chew in there. And I'm going, yeah, no kidding. But they don't want to quit. So it begins one of those rock and a hard place situations.
Well, and if you can talk to your doctor about quitting tobacco products too.
We have tricks.
There are tricks. There are things that help you. I've done hypnosis with people to help them quit smoking. And the secret for quitting is you have to be ready. And then once you're ready and you go to your doctor and say, help me quit smoking, you go to therapy, you work on the underlying stress of why you're coping with it, you do some hypnosis maybe to really help you not.
I've seen all those different things help.
Yeah. And when you're ready and you get a real repertoire to get to quit smoking, that can really help you. And the only reason we're throwing that in here right now, because it's so related to acid reflux.
Yes.
And it needs to be dealt with. If you've got chronic acid reflux, you've got to deal with the hiatal hernias. You have to deal with the stomach ulcers and the constant irritation of the esophagus. When I got scoped, I found out that my esophagus was torsioned and constricted, and that's what had been happening from all the stress I'd been under, and they had to fix that. I mean, I was a mess, and I was just ignoring it and denying it because I was too busy taking care of Rich and his brain disease. So the caregivers have a lot of health-related issues, and acid reflux is definitely one of them. So Dr. Block is over there shaking his head vigorously. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's my weak spot, too. So, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes I have a stressful job. So, yeah, don't be shy about writing a list before you go to the doctor. It really helps me do my job. And and if the doctor tells you to get rid of the list, go to a different doctor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, but as we wind this up, I want to thank Dr. Richard Benlocke for volunteering his time so many times to be on this show, because his motivation has always been to help people heal and to do their health and their life much better. And he is an exemplary person for doing that. You're an incredible doctor, and you are incredible with your patients. So I want to thank you for tuning into Therapy in a Nutshell. Share this show on acid reflux. You can find it on my podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, on any podcast forum like Spotify, iTunes, Audible, Pandora, any podcast forum you can find it. So thank you for tuning in. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and I just want to help heal the world, 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.